Welcome to The Unraveler, a weekly commentary devoted to explaining the Torah, Haftarah, and other aspects of Jewish history, ideas, and thought. This podcast is made by the FJMC, the Federation of Jewish Men's Clubs. The material of these Unraveler podcasts provide a historical and somewhat different approach to help you, the listener, better understand Jewish life and thought. This week's Haftarah commentary is read by Michael Freilich of the Seaboard region of the FJMC, whose Judaic knowledge has been shared with men throughout North America. We hope you enjoy it and find it intellectually challenging. The opinions expressed in the Unraveler are those of the author and do not necessarily represent the opinions or policy of the FJMC.
Shalom, all you all. Today's portion is the 31st parsha in the annual Jewish cycle of the Torah readings. It is called Emor. Emor is the Hebrew word for speak with an exclamation point. This Torah session begins with laws regulating priestly behavior, continues with a description of the biblical festivals, and ends with the story of a blasphemer and the blasphemer's punishment. There are also several other laws relating to interpersonal behavior. Torah for Emor is taken from Ezekiel, otherwise known as Yechezkel in Hebrew, chapter 44, verses 15 through 31. This Haftorah, Ezekiel prophesies about the rules for the priests that will serve in the third temple, a third temple to be built at an unspecified apocalyptic future date. Today's commentary was originally written and promulgated in May 2014 by Rabbi Hillel Skolnick, who at the time was a rabbi in Orlando Jewish congregation, and who in 1918 joined as senior rabbi at Tiferet Israel in Columbus, Ohio. Rabbi Skolnick wrote, "In reading Parsha Emor, not so long after Pesach, as is the case every year, it is impossible to hear many of its verses and not immediately think, didn't I just hear this? And the answer would of course be yes, since a portion of the Parsha Emor is used as the Torah reading for the second day of Pesach and for the first and second days of Sukkot. What is created is the feeling of repetition. Whether Emor is the repetition or is it the second day of Pesach is inconsequential. What matters is that we read from the Torah the same verses four different times during the year, and equally important is the fact that the verses are always the same. The list of sacred occasions never changes. Neither does the requirements to leave the corners of the fields untouched so the poor and the stranger can come and reap from the harvest." Haftorah for Emor follows the model of repeating instructions that we have heard before, but with one important difference. Ezekiel changes some priestly laws detailed in earlier chapters of Emor. Ezekiel changes the rules regarding women that a priest can marry, adjusts rules relating how priests are required to cut their hair, expands the duties of the priest regarding judicial responsibilities not mentioned in Emor, limits application of the prohibition against priests concerning alcohol while performing priestly duties, and most significantly, limits the priest to those from Tzaddikite line. To be sure, it was a shock to the system of the commentators to see what Yechezkel had done. Rashi and other commentators spend much time trying to reconcile Yechezkel or Ezekiel with Parshat Emor, and by most accounts, it was due to what the, quote, JPS Bible Commentary, Haftarot, close quote, called a, open quote, erotic act of exegesis by one Hananiah ben Hizkiah, that the difficulties were reconciled, close quote, and as Yechezkel continued to be read in the first place. But for those of us who live in modern times, it seems the correct approach for the Haftarah is the one put forth by the Chumash Eitz Chaim, which encourages us to reconcile the similarities between what Yechezkel does and what we do in all our quest to blend tradition and change, both as a movement and as individuals. We have found ourselves changing, adjusting, and limiting applications. And if we're honest with ourselves, we can admit from time to time, we also limit who may serve. It is not easy to say Yechezkel was right or wrong in his conclusions, but at least we can understand his methods and hopefully better appreciate his words in this Haftarah. This is the end of Rabbi Skolnick's commentary. Some of my comments are as follows. First, Yechezkel or Ezekiel lived at the beginning of Josiah's reign. Josiah was perhaps the most successful of the Israel kings, either superior to or at least equal to those of King David. He ran a wonderful, wonderful country. He was a wonderful leader. It is believed that Yechezkel was born near the beginning of Josiah's reign, which would have been in the early 600s before the Common Era. Yechezkel also lived to see the fall of Jerusalem to Nebuchadnezzar in 586 or so before the Common Era. Yechezkel was exiled to Babylonia. His view on change is likely incurred by one who saw, if you will, for lack of a better word, a diasporic life. Of equal note and interest is to see the application of the rules by my Rambam, who uses this to deal with the idea of tradition and change. So, for example, in the discussion of the Babylonian Talmud, Maimonides taught that all Jews are commanded regarding the sanctification of God's name, quote, and I shall be sanctified amidst the children of Israel, end quote. And the Jews are similarly warned against desecrating God's name. Maimonides taught this implies that should a gentle force a Jew violate one of the Torah's commandments at the threat of death, the Jew should violate the commandment rather than be killed because this Amor states concerning the commandments, quote, which a man will perform and live by them. These commands were given so that one may live by them and not die because of them. If one dies rather than transgress the commandment, one is held accountable for one's own life. But Maimonides also taught this rule applies with regard to commandments other than the worship of other gods. It applies to worship of other gods, forbidden sexual relations, and murder. With regard to these three aveirot or sins, if one is ordered to transgress one of them or be killed, one should sacrifice one's own life. But Maimonides further taught that these general rules apply when the Gentile desires something for the Gentile's personal benefit. For example, to build a house for the Gentile on the Sabbath. But if the Gentile's intention is limited to have the Jew violate the commandments, then the rules apply. But there is another reason, and there are no other Jews present, the Jew should transgress the commandment and should stay alive. But if the Gentile forces the Jew to transgress in front of other Jews, then the Jew should sacrifice his life. Rambam, Maimonides, further taught that in times when a wicked ruler, for example, Nebuchadnezzar or his like, issues a decree against the Jews to nullify their faith or commandments, whether one is compelled to transgress in the presence of 10 Jews, only among Gentiles, one should sacrifice one's life. There are other similar rules. The important thing is the discussion has to do with change and the world to come. Maimonides further taught that if one consciously transgresses one of these commandments without being forced to, in the spirit of derision to arouse divine anger, one desecrates God's name. And on the other side of it, anyone who refrains from committing a sin performs a commandment for no ulterior motive, either out of fear nor dread, or to seek honor, but for God's sake, then he sanctifies God's name. Thank you for your attention. As my daughter in Texas would say, Shalom all you all. Thank you.
We hope that you've enjoyed this podcast. The FJMC mission is to involve Jewish men in Jewish life. You can find more information about the organization at the FJMC's website at www.fjmc.org. Music for this podcast is Climb by Shane Ivers and is available at www.silvermansound.com.